Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I think my writing is probably influenced pretty heavily by music, and specifically lyrics, because I think a well-written song is, to me, I gravitate to songs that have really strong lyrics to them. And even a simple hook or a chorus to a song can make the song, right? The whole song doesn't have to be, you know, a masterpiece strictly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. How about yourself?
I'm a lifelong Springsteen fan, and by lifelong, I was born the very first year his first two albums were released the year I was born. So obviously, as long as I can remember music and I can remember liking music and having artists I follow, he was somebody I adapted to very early on. And certainly my relationship with Bruce and his music has evolved over the years, and different appreciation to some of the songs. As I've gotten older, you can re-listen to them and almost hear them differently at different points in your life, I feel like. But longtime fan of Bruce, born and raised in Buffalo, New York. I come from the Rust Belt and the blue collar community up there, and life. My dad was a gym teacher and a coach of many sports. That blue collar vibe of putting your head down, working hard, and earning your way in the world, that is ingrained in me, and that's obviously the backbone of a lot of Bruce's music and what he sings about. So there's a great connectivity there for me with Bruce, which I think a lot of fans who are true fans and really connect with Bruce, I think they connect on that level where they're connecting to the lyrics and they're connecting to the words of the songs. Some people listen to songs for the words. Some people listen to songs for the melody. But I think true Springsteen fans enjoy his poetry and his words.
Yeah. A few years ago, I wish I could find this. There was an April Fool's article that talked about Bruce Springsteen winning the Nobel Prize for Literature, and it did a summary of his career, and all the albums were books that he had written instead of albums, and this was a collection of poetry, and this was his novel, and this was his, and I'm like, if I could travel through dimensions, I would love to travel to that dimension where Bruce became a writer and to read all those books. That would be pretty slick. The other thing I thought of when you were talking to me is I think Tunnel Love is especially an album that changes as you grow. I think I've said many times that you can't love experience and appreciate Tunnel of Love till you've either had your heart broken a few times or you've been in a long-term relationship. And then, of course, a 19-year-old kid joins me and says it's his favorite album. And I'm like, okay, there is the exception that proves all rules. That's awesome, David. I am so happy. Bills fan?
Absolutely. Yep. Diehard, long-suffering Bills fan.
Yeah.
At the hands of, I'm guessing, your Cowboys a couple times.
Yes. Part of me said that I have a wonderful friend that I do a Game of Thrones podcast with, Wendy, who is a massive Pearl Jam fan, but also she lives in the area and she's a huge Bills fan, Bills Mafia all the way. And I almost said that, one, anytime the Cowboys aren't in the playoffs, which is most times, I always pull for the Bills because of her. And the other thing I said, as much as it would break my heart, how cool if you could get a Bills Cowboy Super Bowl again and the Bills win, right?
Super
Like,
Bowl rematch.
yeah, because a few years, the last Cowboy Super Bowl was against the Steelers,
Yeah.
and that felt really good. And by the way, one of my favorite stories of that is Roger was talking to Lynn Swann, Roger Staubach. He's like, "Hey, we finally beat you guys." And Lynn said, "No, they beat them.
Yeah.
You never beat us."
Yeah, I don't think you can truly root against the Cowboys if they make it back to the Super Bowl, regardless of who they're playing.
Probably not. Probably
But
not.
I appreciate the sentiment. Bills fans can use all the help they can get,
Yeah.
and we think we got a good quarterback in Josh Allen, but they've fallen off a little bit this year. So hopefully they can get back on track.
Yeah, I think so. All right. So you talked about growing up in Buffalo. So I'm going to ask you two questions about your childhood. One, what kind of music did your family listen to when you were younger? What were your parents listening to? And then after you answer that, were you a family of readers? I always like to ask writers, did you grow up with someone who was encouraging to read? You had that? Or were you just someone like myself? I did not realize how much my parents liked to read till I became older.
Yeah, that's a good question. My folks aren't really big music fans.
Okay.
Growing up, there wasn't really a ton of music in the house that they listened to, or they didn't have any real bands they followed. Ironically, they've become big Queen fans since the Queen movie came out a number of
Oh,
years
how fun.
ago. And they like music. They just don't have a. My dad liked Bob Seger, and my mom, nothing special. Stuff from when they grew up.
Yeah.
Paul Anka was one of her favorite artists, and. Or is one of her favorite artists. But really, my biggest influence musically came from my two older brothers.
Okay.
So I'm the youngest of three, two older brothers. And classic rock was a lot of what we listened to and what I learned from them, like REO Speedwagon and Loverboy and Journey and those kinds of bands, like in the 80s, The Police. My one brother was a big, more heavy metal fan, like Ozzy Osbourne and
Yeah.
Black Sabbath, stuff like that, a little bit harder edged. But really, and their musical tastes have deviated over the years or moved in different directions. I, ironically, being the youngest of the three of us, I'm still stuck in a classic rock 60s, 70s, 80s vibe with what I listen to. And a lot of the music I listen to is it really predates me even being on the planet. I'm a big fan of the British Invasion, right? The Stones, the Beatles, the Who, the Kinks, I think are underrated, Led Zeppelin. Supertramp's a really good band. I really enjoy all that music coming over from the UK.
David, one of the there are patterns I see doing this podcast, and one of them is siblings. Often the story is that your older siblings influenced your love of music or influenced a different way. My older brother was really into blues, so I went the grunge area, right? I had to rebel. The other is if you're the oldest, you influencing your younger siblings. That is great to hear. And absolutely. So, how about reading? Were you always a big reader and were your parents influential in that?
I was not really a big reader.
Okay.
I think my mom always encouraged it. She used to always buy us books for gifts, hoping one day we'd read this book or that book. And some I've read, others I'm maybe going to get to someday, that kind of thing. And
Sure.
but not really a big reader growing up, but ironically, when I got to college, mixed in with my sports background, I played a lot of sports. My dad coached a lot of sports as a phys ed teacher. I ended up getting into journalism and getting into communications. My life and career, I didn't really set out to be a writer, but my life evolved to the point where I ended up getting a communications degree. So I worked as a journalist out of college, mostly as a sports writer, and then a little bit as an editor for some newspapers. Then I evolved into public relations and marketing, and I've been working in advertising for close to 20 years now. So I've done, you name it, I've done it in the marketing kind of communications writing space to different audiences and different types of writing. And I think my writing is probably influenced pretty heavily by music, and specifically lyrics, because I think a well-written song is, to me, I gravitate to songs that have really strong lyrics to them. And even a simple hook or a chorus to a song can make the song, right? The whole song doesn't have to be, you know, a masterpiece strictly.
Yeah. So. One of the other podcasts I do is a perfectly good podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z. And Sylvain Groth and I are going through every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. He is not a well-known artist. He is more of a writer, but he's someone that Sylvain and I are both passionate about. And so as you're going through these songs, we'll talk about, we'll rate them 1 to 5, and we'll go, this is a 1 or a 2 song, but this one line is a 5. Like, yeah, this one line knocks it out of the park.
Almost like a good line in a movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that can elevate that movie.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these 3 EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
So David, you've talked about that you and Bruce Springsteen's music entered this mortal plane at the same time frame. Often people who are growing up the East Coast, you can't ask them when you'd have first discovered Bruce, because it's like asking, when did you first discover your parents used Tide dishwashing soap powder? It's just always been there. But can you remember when you realized he was significant and maybe your passion started? And you've already talked about lyrics, but if you'd expand on that, what about him and his music spoke to you?
Yeah, I can answer both of those actually, because we've given some thought to this prior to our conversation. But I think I was born in 73. So when Born in the USA came out in 84, I was 11 going on 12. And everybody knew that song, the songs on that album. It was a gargantuan album for him. And that's probably the first that I really liked and enjoyed his music. I know purists of Bruce, as my fandom or relationship with Bruce and his music has evolved, maybe think that some of that stuff on Born in the USA might be a little too poppy or a little too commercial. But that was my first introduction to him and probably a lot of people. But when I really gravitated toward, I think, being drawn more deeply to his music and really moving me and speaking to me was probably, a few years later, say late 80s, my oldest brother had gone off to college and he had the 85, 75, 85 box set. He left behind, he left a lot of stuff behind. So I gravitated starting to listen to that box set more thoroughly. And those songs really spoke to me. And when I listened to those songs, this is going to sound weird to hardcore Springsteen fans, but when I first started listening to the 75, 85 box set, what drew me in was the passion and the energy to his live performances, even though they were obviously recorded live performances. Just I just could feel his passion and his energy in those songs, and that's really what hooked me. It was probably like late 80s, so I was maybe a freshman in high school, getting a little bit older, and I just it just started connecting with me. Just so many great songs on those albums. And the funny thing is, I didn't know at the time which albums those songs were on. I just liked the songs. I listened to them. And ironically, the ones I gravitated toward that I really like a lot are Growing Up, Spirit in the Night, Hard to Be a Saint in the City. When I started liking those songs from that box set, at that time, I did not know those are all on Greetings.
Yeah.
Those three songs are all on his very first album. And of course, I know that now, right? All Springsteen fans know it if it was cataloged deeply. But at the time, I gravitated toward really liking those songs without the context of when he recorded them, when he released them, what albums they were on. That was the beauty of, I think, that box set, because it spanned to that point to his career. He's obviously had a whole nother career beyond that point of all those songs on that box set. But the song that, and the version of No Surrender on that box set, I think, is tremendous. It's one of my favorite versions of No Surrender. But the song, and this is not going to be a shocker, but the song that really grabbed me and grabbed my attention, and to this day, it's my favorite Bruce song. And a lot of people are going to say it, so it's going to sound cliche, but my favorite Bruce song and my favorite version of my favorite Bruce song is Thunder Road from that box set. It's a small theater. I think he's at the Roxy when he does that recording and plays that song. And it opens the box set. The guy comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band." And all it is a piano, a little bit of sax, I think a little harmonica in there. And it's such a stripped down, pure version of that song. But that kind of hooked me. That's what made me a huge fan, for me to dive deeper into Bruce and his albums and his songs.
Yeah, I think that as Springsteen fans, especially passionate fans, it's easy to sort of push Born in the USA aside, right? I remember for a while there, we were discussing, there was somebody on Twitter was having fun back when Twitter used to be fun. They were mocking, some showrunner was mocking another showrunner in a fun way, right? And what are insults that aren't insults, right? He puts ketchup on his steak. And I said, Dancing in the Dark is his favorite Bruce Springsteen song, right?
That's still very popular when he plays that at shows, but
it is.
I don't think to the heart,
Yeah,
point taken, the
exactly.
hardcore
Right.
fan.
Yeah. And I also, one of the things about Dancing in the Dark is all the different covers that have been done and how many different versions and skills they could do it to show what great bones are in that song. And I always laugh and enjoy, especially I didn't even bother that he brought in somebody to dance, but with the latest tour with COVID, he didn't, right? So it didn't last as long. But I think we Springsteen fans have to remember that Born in the USA was the gateway album for so many hardcore fans. that, like yourself, right? You heard those songs everywhere, and it led you to start searching. And so I think because of that, there'll always be a soft place in my heart for it. A few years ago, more than that now, they did an Americana tribute album, like Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires did Born in the USA, and Holly Williams did No Surrender. And there was this whole group of Americanas covered Born in the USA and did them a little different style. So yeah, absolutely. I always like to preface this, David, with the amount of times you've seen Bruce perform live is not a fair barometer of how big of a fan you are. That can change, because if you were born at the right age in the East Coast, it's easy to have seen him hundreds of times. If you grew up in Louisiana, like I did, it was hard to see him at all. So do you count how many shows you've gone to? And if so, how many?
I do count. I don't know if I have the exact number, though. It's over 30. It's somewhere between, okay. I would say maybe it could be as many as 35, but let's say 32, 33. It's somewhere in there. I've lost okay. count over the years, but I've had the fortune to see him quite a few times. And some of that is related to geography, because I lived in New Jersey briefly for a stretch, and I lived in Allentown, Bethlehem area, which is just over the border from New Jersey. A little north of Philadelphia, right in that corridor. You can get to New Jersey, you can get to Philly, you can even get down to Baltimore, and you get to New York City, and obviously the Meadowlands. And so there was greater access to see him at more shows. So I'm thankful to have seen him as many times as I have, though I've seen him in like six or seven states. I've seen him in a lot of places, but because I lived in that region, I got to see him more often. But your point is well taken, because from the time I really embraced his music till I finally got to see him perform, my first show was in Tampa in 2000, March of 2000. And I was becoming a big fan in the late 80s. So I waited about 12 years before I could actually get to see him. Of course, he was on hiatus there for a while too. That was the reunion tour, the first yeah. kind of reunion tour. And that was my first exposure, which was a great tour to see, because a lot of that was just him playing all his hits and stuff. He wasn't really promoting a new album yeah. at that point. And that was the pure form of seeing him, being introduced to him. But yeah, I saw him in Tampa at the Ice Palace, and it was an awesome show. Yeah.
Cut out. I say there's two kinds of people, David. The people that see Bruce the first time and go, wow, that was a long show. And the others that go, oh my God, that was amazing. When can I go back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. How many shows have you seen then?
So 19.
Nice.
Now, nice. I had tickets for Tulsa. I saw Dallas, Houston, Austin. And like a week later, he was going to be in Tulsa. And I had tickets. Linda and Chris and I were all going up together. We had rented an Airbnb. We were going to make a mini vacation of it. Because last summer, summer before last, there was the Springsteen Live exhibit at the Woody Guthrie Museum there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Which yeah. is right next to the Bob Dylan Museum. And we went and enjoyed both of them. In fact, we said we didn't spend enough time at the Woody Guthrie one, because we did the Dylan one. And so we were like, okay, we'll go see Bruce again. We'll go back. And after going to Austin, which was on a Thursday, I woke up. I got home Friday afternoon and go, I don't feel well. And I woke up Saturday morning, I don't feel well at all. So I missed out on Tulsa. So I was 19 and holding. Then I had tickets for Columbus and Phoenix. And then both of them got postponed. So I'm at 19 and holding. I'm like, my next show will get me into 20. Yeah.
I have two footnotes to that.
Yeah, please.
Might make you feel better. I have one of my very best friends, and I wasn't friends with him at this time, but he was not really a Springsteen fan, and one of our mutual friends drug him along to a show, and he was instantly transformed into a diehard Springsteen fan from just one concert. So it can be, if you're a big music fan,
right?
I think he's, I've seen a lot of bands. It's not just Bruce. I'm a big music fan. I've seen a lot of concerts in my day.
Yeah.
He's just a very the energy, and he's just a dynamic performer, him and his band.
Yeah, they're
it's
just
no frills. It's no frills. There's not a lot of smoke and mirrors and fancy stuff going on. I saw the Stones years ago at the Vet, which was supposed to be their farewell tour back then in 02. And they had these, it was like 12, I was like 20 rows off the stage on the field. And they had these jet engines like blowing up out of the stage. You could feel the heat from them. And they had a whole lot of stuff going on with the show. Bruce just comes out and plays rock and roll. I think the simplicity and purity of that adds to the intensity of the performance and the music, keeping it intentionally simple.
Yeah. One of the things I thought was interesting is last year they released the No Nukes tour, right? They added the two shows together and made it one concert film. And I was struck how sparse they looked on stage, right? God, there's not that many of them because there is no Niels, there is no Susie. They're in just, it just was odd to see, you know, that just that small band. Yeah. And I went and saw, like, I've seen other artists where they have video screens in the back, like they are playing. There is a video accompaniment to every song. Yeah. There, even James Taylor, for that matter, had some special effects and lighting of videos. Another person I'm really enjoying, my latest music crush, is Jason Isbell. I'm late to the bandwagon for him. I had never listened to the Drive-By Truckers and just happened to see him the first time this year and have just been a deep dive into his music. And I don't know if you're familiar with Jason, but yeah, if you like lyrics, you'll love Jason.
I'm later than you.
Yeah, I'd love for you to check it out. And if you like it as much as I think, we could have you back and we could talk about what you're thinking.
Jason, what's the
Jason
band?
Jason Isbell, Isbell. It's more Americana.
Okay.
Brian Kopelman, the guy who wrote Billions, and he says he thinks he is the best songwriter under 50 living today.
Wow, I'll check it out.
Yeah, let me know. I'd love to hear what you think.
So one more thing, Jesse.
Yeah, please.
I got to add another footnote to
it. No, this is what the conversation is supposed to be.
To you missing a concert because of a commitment with your son,
yeah,
not being able to go to what would have been your first concert.
Right.
Now, I saw him, my first show was in Tampa in 2000. At the time, one of my coworkers, a bunch of my coworkers were going to the show. They had gotten tickets.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a ticket. You can imagine it was a hard ticket to get.
Sure.
And one of my coworkers could not go because his son was being born. So I got to go in his place.
Nice.
With his twin brother and two other really good guys that I worked with at the time. A bunch of us worked together at a newspaper. And I told my bosses, I'm like, I think that was supposed to be on the schedule to work. And I said, and I'm a highly reliable person. It's just in my DNA.
What's your dad? The blue collar, right? You just, calling in sick when you're a teacher is not an option.
But my dad calls himself the Cal Ripken of teaching because he never missed it.
Right.
So I told him, I said, you can put me on the schedule, but I'm not going to be here because there was nothing preventing me from going to the show to see Bruce. So it was actually a happenstance and just pure luck that I got to go because my other buddy, coworker, was having a baby that same night or week or with, but was like right in the same time frame. So I was able to go in his place.
Yeah.
So hopefully somebody else got to go in your place.
Yes, exactly. So one of my favorite stories, and I wish I could remember who told me this because I talk about it often. There was a guest on that had been a huge fan. He still is. And I love this story, David. He says he was standing in the pit during the middle of the reunion tour.
Yeah.
And he had this feeling of, and this he's talking to himself, this is it. They have not played for a decade. I am here. I'm seeing the band again. This is the apex of my Springsteen fandom. I may never see them live again. Who knows? Maybe every 2 or 3 years they'll go out a reunion tour like the Eagles do or something. But this is it. He says, I want to go back to that guy and say, you have no idea what's coming. You have the rising. You have magic. You have Letter to You. You have Bruce performing on Broadway. You have worldwide tours. You have them doing the River Incomplete. You have, this is the halftime show. This isn't the final 2 minutes. This is just halftime in their career.
Yeah.
And what's funny is you started your career then, your Bruce Springsteen fandom right there.
The concert goer to see him,
That's awesome.
I've been lucky enough to see him as many times as I've had.
Yeah. So other stories from live shows you want to share with me? Do you have some other fun ones that you might want to share? Experiences, moments where you saw something special on stage or had a fun experience with people in the crowd or other things?
Yeah. I've sat in the last row at Giant Stadium for a show. And I've been 5 feet away from him when he's been on stage at the Stone Pony.
Okay.
And it's just getting in the door to see him is always a treat. And every experience is different, A, because of who you go with. If you go with other diehard Springsteen fans, I think there's just a different energy to that. But
sure.
I've drug a lot of family and friends to shows over the years that haven't necessarily been huge fans, and I just insisted they go, and they've always had a blast. But it varies depending who you're with and what you're. But every show is also unique and different in its own right. My favorite show, though, of all time was March 11th, 2003, Rochester, New York.
Okay.
It was, it's an old hockey arena, Blue Cross Arena. It's an old hockey arena. It's a smaller little hockey arena where the AHL Rochester Americans play, which is their affiliate to the Sabres. And I had floor seats, not in the pit, but just, we were like one row back from the blockade, about center stage blockade from the pit. So I was about 20 yards from center stage. I don't want this to sound bad, but Patty wasn't there that night. She got sick, or he said she was sick and stayed home. And you know what? It was just the best show I ever saw. The Bruce's interaction with Clarence and with little Steven was so much different. And I don't mean that as a knock on her. Growing up, I always felt like I missed out on seeing Bruce way back in the early days with the different chemistry to the band in some of those smaller venues and stuff that he used to play. And that's what that show felt like.
To me, I feel like Springsteen fans like ourselves that didn't see shows till, let's just say, the second half, it's like missing an extra point. You're always chasing that point. I feel like, at least from my perspective, I'm always chasing, like I can never catch up, but I keep trying to catch up, right? That what is the next? I need to get more. I need to get more of this feeling.
Yeah, got to get that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Were you able to make Broadway?
I was not able to see him on Broadway. I tried a bunch and I kept losing out on the lotteries, and it didn't come together for me there. But the other thing about that show, though, was he played a couple really rare songs that he rarely plays. One was Blinded by the Light.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a great version of that. He also played Fire toward the end of the show.
Oh.
It's not songs that you're going to see him play very often. And
yeah,
it was a really good set list. I think they played Backstreets that night, and it had a different energy to it. And it was a smaller arena, and I was down on the floor closer to the stage, and it felt like I was at one of those small clubs back in the day. So I think that's part of what it was. And not a knock on Patty, but without her being there, she wouldn't have been there really early on. So it had that vibe to it. It had the vibe of what I listened to on the box set, the show, the recordings from the Roxy, where you're hearing him in that small little venue, you know, with a really polite clap when he gets injured with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, and they start Thunder Road, and you get that real, almost like a golf clap, right?
Yes.
And not like a big stadium erupting. So that was a tremendous show for a lot of reasons there. I saw him at the Stone Pony, which of course is, he made that place famous. And that was for a Light of Day concert. I don't know how many people out there are familiar with that, but
sure.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but they used to do this Light of Day benefit concert right around this time. It was in November every year, yeah. I think, for to raise money for Parkinson's and stuff.
Yes, they still do. And yeah, that's some of the best. Yeah, people talk about that. That's always some of the best shows because it's the smaller venue. There's a lot of fun. It's a looser show. So yeah, absolutely.
It was an all-day thing, and we got there early, and we positioned ourselves close to the stage, listened to a bunch of bands, and didn't know if Bruce was going to show up. You never know if he's going to grace you with his presence. And Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers, he's a big friend of Bruce, and he was coming out and playing the last set. And sure enough, Bruce showed up and played with him. So we were wedged between like the bar and the stage.
Okay.
And there were and it's not a high ceiling, and there were huge amps hanging off the ceiling. And I was standing right in front of one of the amps, and I was probably 10 feet from Bruce through the whole show. And it's
nice.
The stage isn't real high either. And it was just packed. You could barely move. It was just a whole lot of fun. My ears rang for at least 2 days afterwards. Like a heavy ringing. Like I probably still have damage from that show.
All right, so I want to switch just for a moment. I did mention you're a writer, so you talked about you've done a lot of editing, you've done reporting. So talk about your book. What led you to tell us first what it is, where we can find it, but talk about what inspired you to write this.
Yeah, good question. So the book is called It's Okay to Not Eat Your Peas.
I love that title so much.
And it's both literal and metaphorical.
Okay.
And during the pandemic, I think everybody did different things to kill time, and you can only do so much when we're all locked up inside and waiting things out. But I've always had these stories bouncing around in my head, and I don't have kids of my own. And I grew up, I should say my nieces and nephews grew up in different states than I did. So I saw them on occasion when I was visiting my brothers and stuff when we got together, but I wasn't really regularly in their lives. It's hard for Uncle Dave to roll into town and depart real wisdom on them when I don't have a strong relationship with them. Not that I have a bad relationship. I just didn't have that everyday familiar with them. So I sat down to write these stories as if I was going to share them with my own kids or certainly with my nieces and nephews. So what's in the book is a lot of stories about my life and my experiences, things I've learned from other people. So some are cautionary tales, some are just advice. And I wanted to really wrote that for my nieces and nephews. I wrote that as advice from Uncle Dave to them and things that hopefully that they could learn from and gain from that. And that was the pure starting point for the book. And I just started writing down some stories and I thought, well, that's pretty good. And I wrote another one and another one. And I wasn't really sure I was going to have a book, but I was writing because everyone needed to do something. And I got enough content together where I felt, you know what, this is really good. And the self-publishing thing has been growing and evolving where people don't have to go through those traditional channels to find an agent and find a publisher and do all that. And I've spent my life in communications and marketing and publishing and advertising and writing and editing. So I built a book for myself and published it on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon. And thankfully, you know what? It's been very well received. It's gotten really good ratings, and I've had nothing but great reviews from people. The goal was if I could impact one or two people with the stories, if I could make one or two people's life a little bit better. Sometimes sharing your own stories and things that have happened to you can be therapeutic for somebody just because it's comforting to know that maybe somebody else has gone through what you're going through.
Okay.
So for people who... Jesse, I'm guessing we're in a similar age bracket-ish. So you would relate to these stories on a level where you can relate to that commonality of me writing a book in my mid to late 40s and looking back on life a little bit. But if you're younger too, you can read it. And if you have had those shared experiences, I think the book is really good. But if you haven't had them, it's something for you to tuck away in your back pocket and then hopefully draw on if and when you get to that fork in the road in your life with some of those things that might happen to you. So that was the goal behind writing it, and I was always hoping it would find a larger audience, and it has, and it's been well received, and I'm real excited to have put it out there and to have found a vehicle to, you know, build these stories and put them together and share them. And I'm working on another book untitled, but certainly plan to do more writing, and then that's evolved into Jay finding me.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that.
I built a website with my communications degree and skills and experience to support the book. And I built it to offer up marketing services, publishing services, not just to tell a little bit more about me in support of the book. And Jay found me on the internet. The internet can be a real wonderful thing. Yeah. And he found me, and we started some dialogue. And next thing, we published his book on November 1st this year. And it is called Ordinary Hero. Hold it up there for people at home. People are watching. And it's a tremendous book. Jay is a tremendous guy. For people that don't know Jay's story, when he's in his early 40s. So about 10 years ago, when he was in his early 30s, he was diagnosed with cerebellar atrophy, which is a degenerative condition where the cerebellum portion of his brain is dying. It affects mostly motor skills, and it's in the Parkinson's realm, but not quite. I don't think the same. It's similar.
Yeah.
Jay might dock me for that if I'm mis-explaining that. But so Jay's first book, which I read, and his second book, which I edited for him and paginated and designed and published and did the cover. And we had a lot of conversations about that, and we just launched it for him. His style is very similar, where he's writing about his life and telling stories about his struggles with his diagnosis and his condition. And he's got a really, he's a very talented writer.
Yes.
Both books are very fun and entertaining. It's a difficult topic, some of what he's going through, but he's been strong enough to decide he wants to share that with the world and be a positive influence on other people that might have his similar ailment, right? And tell them that things are going to be okay, but you don't have to have the condition he has to appreciate his stories and understand what he's going through and how hard he's working to make the best life for himself in spite of all that. And he's a very inspirational guy. I tell him that every time we talk, that he inspires me just in how he's living his life. He's a real great guy.
Jay is the originator of the Mary Question. He has been on the podcast multiple times, and because of his disease, it is tougher for him to speak and do an interview. And I reached out to him and I said, I know you're not comfortable. I said, if you want to record, I could ask you questions, you record your answer. And he said, no, what I'd really love is, do you mind talking to David? Because David is a huge Springsteen fan and he really helped me with the book. And so I'm glad we were able to connect. I loved his first book. I was one of his pre-readers talking about it. I love the second book. In my review, what I said is Jay is at heart a teacher. He loved teaching. He loved helping people write. He loved his students on Fight On, right? The service he was working with and doing. And I think he's continuing to teach us through his stories. So yeah, I am so glad you're able to help him. I recommend him strongly. I tell you what I'm going to do, I just picked up your book as we were talking. So I'm going to read it and I'm going to have you back to discuss more of that and maybe talk a little Jason Isbell and get to all the questions we didn't get to because I'm running out of time, unfortunately, David. Gosh, this was fun.
I'm too long-winded.
No, I think we just scratched the surface.
We did. I can talk forever about Bruce.
Yeah, and we will do this again. We will absolutely do this again. So, David, speaking of Jay, when he was teaching, he would give his class the lyrics to Thunder Road, and they would study him. They would treat it as if it was a poem. They would talk about Robert Frost, other American poets, and then after two full days of breaking apart every lyric, he would ask his class, does Mary get in the car? So, David, that is your question. Does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road?
The short answer is no, I don't think she does.
Okay.
And the lyrics end with "It's a town full of losers, and I'm pulling out of here to win." So it's a singular reference. And but it doesn't mean she doesn't get in the car. My interpretation is she does not. And here's why, because I've heard many conversations, interviews with Bruce over the years where he's talked about the album cover. And I think that was one of the earlier album covers that actually folded open. There weren't a lot of them back in the day.
Yes.
I'm not saying his was the first, but one of them that opened up. And he said in the past that book, the album cover that opens like that, it was his invitation to the world to come along for the ride. And he has a lot of metaphors about cars and transportation throughout all his music. But I think he's inviting all of us along for the ride. And I think he's telling all of us, hey, it's your choice. What do you want to do? You're in a bad situation here. This is a dead end town. I'm getting out of here to build a better life for myself. Are you coming with me? It's not, he's using Mary as a vehicle in the story, but I think the song, and maybe that's why it has affected me so much and been, and why I admire the song so much, is because I think he's inviting all of us along and challenging all of us to get out there in the world and go find a better life for yourself.
That is an absolutely amazing answer. I love that answer. All right, if someone wants to reach you, how can they?
Oh, you can visit my website, which is bigcatcreative.com. It's a K for cat and K for creative. And that's a whole nother story. That's a nickname I got back in college, Big Cat.
Okay.
I'm a big guy. I'm still pretty fast for my size, but I'm not as fast as I used to be, but I'm faster than I look for my size. So my friends back in college used to call me Big Cat. So it stuck with me, and I created a company which became my publishing source for my book. But bigcatcreative.com, you can reach me there. Or dave@bigcatcreative.com if you want to send me an email direct. That's great too.
Yeah. It's okay to not eat your peas. How Little Moments in Life Leave Lasting Impressions, available on Amazon, both in Kindle and paperback form. Check it out. David, let's do this again. I had so much fun. I feel like we just scratched the surface.
Sounds good, Jesse. I'd love to. Yep.
Yeah. All right, listeners, go check out the website. Check out the book. Tell them you heard about it here on Set Lusting Bruce. For now, I want everyone to be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thinking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only Set Lusting Bruce. The theme for Set Lusting Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.